nama sreshtam manamapi satchiputram atrasurupam rupam tasyagradam urupurin maturim goshtavatim radha kundam girivaramaho radhika madhavasham prapto yasya pratita kripaya shrigurum tam natosmi vandeham shriguro shriyatav padakamalam shrigurun vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagraja Tam Sahagana Raghuna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Pitamscha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Okay, well, we're just talking about San Diego and Ocean Beach and Santa Rosa, is it? And okay, now I'm going to move the focus to Calcutta, sometime in the 1920s. You may think I'm going to be speaking about Srila Prabhupada, but no, I'm going to speak about just one anecdote concerning a person who at the time was called Ramendra Kumar Bhattacharya, who visited the Gauriya Mart, which at that time consisted of a rented house in North Calcutta. And he was astonished at the high level of philosophic discourse going on, because the Upanishads were being discussed in a materialistic city like Calcutta. Because that kind of discourse was expected in the traditional gurukuls and schools, which were mostly in villages and holy places, not in Calcutta. Later on, that Ramendra Bhattacharya became known as Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Goswami Maharaj, one of the great personalities in the among the many great personalities who were drawn to the then the word great, what shall we use? what's the superlative of great? The great, greater, greatest. What can you say? What adjective can you use for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur? Yesterday we saw that verse. What is that? Brahmanda tarite shakti dhare jane jane. All the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have the potency to deliver the whole universe. So I thought the same thing when I came in here. And there's in Pacific Beach, San Diego, you don't expect to hear such topics being discussed of surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, giving up attachments. This is a sure sign that the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has arrived through the Guru Parampara, through Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, through Srila Prabhupada, through his representatives, in this case, and through Rajendranandan Prabhu. Sorry, I always think Rajendranandan, but it's Rajendranandan. How the mercy of beautiful Radha Giridhari is shining in this otherwise dark corner of the universe. Not dark because there's clouds over for the last few days, but in terms of spiritual knowledge and spiritual culture, is a dark place. Yesterday morning when I came into the Mangalarti, this early morning service, 4:30, I was a little late. I was so happy to see a group of young men, some old men also, dancing and singing. It was the same experience I had some almost 40 years previously, where similar experience where I first came to Krishna's temple near London. I came in the evening, and due to not well, Radha Gokulananda's mercy, circumstantially you could say, I couldn't leave. I came by bicycle. I had a puncture. It's a village. There's no way to repair it. I came just wearing a shirt. It was sunny. By the time I arrived, it was snowing. That's English weather. And so I was compelled to stay overnight. And I'd just taken rest, it seemed like that, where I was woken up. There's no idea in those days that someone just visiting should be allowed to sleep any longer than anyone else. And the next thing waiting for me was a cold shower, which I never heard of. It was snowing outside. And then I was in Mangalarti, and I saw everyone's dancing and singing for the pleasure of God after taking a cold shower at 4:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. I knew this is real. This is not some ritualistic religion. They're doing this every day. This is real spiritual life. And it's alive in a place where otherwise everyone is spiritually dead, organically alive by the grace of Trader Joe, but spiritually dead. So unfortunate. People are so unfortunately wasting their lives. So thank you to all of you for being vessels of the mercy of Sri Sri Radha Giridhari in this most unlikely place. San Diego's maybe the most unlikely place. It's dedicated to material enjoyment. But Krishna has his mercy embassy here also. So, having said that, Hare Krishna. On the topic of guru and disciple, it is the kind of guru-disciple relationship that's being formally established here is unusual, as is pretty much, compared to tradition, it's unusual, as is pretty much everything in the modern world. It's different to tradition. We often think of the disciple living with the guru and being instructed with him, and that is the model of the gurukul. But then after the student, after living for several years and being instructed by the guru, he goes home and he may not see the guru again, as in the case of Krishna. He didn't spend years with his guru, but there's no record of him after leaving Gurukul, going back. The disciple has to live on the instructions that he's heard and is linked by those instructions. Although there are cases of acharyas who traveled widely and initiated widely. The first acharya in this Kali Yuga, the first accepted Vedic Acharya, Shankaracharya. In some Vaishnav Sampradayas, they don't recognize him as an Acharya at all because of the great difference in philosophy. But Acharya, that word is used in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we recognize him as a Vedic Acharya. So Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, they traveled widely. They all traveled throughout India and beyond what is now the political borders of India. That time, of course, it was not a unified country. And they initiated. Later, Madhavendra Puri, we have the we know he initiated Advaita Acharya. He was just traveling, and Advaita Acharya, who obviously he'd been initiated as a Brahmin previously to that. He'd taken his Upanayana, but he took Vaishnava initiation from Madhavendra Puri, who stayed at his house for maybe 1 or 2 days and went away and wasn't expected ever to return. So the link is most importantly by hearing, and by the grace of modern technology that goes on even without the personal contact, which is not unimportant. that we shouldn't also think that you can have a guru via an MP3 player, and that's the be-all and end-all of it. But it does, it facilitates the modern technology, can be used or misused to facilitate degradation, or it can also facilitate spiritual elevation. So the essence of the guru-disciple relationship is in hearing, understanding, and following. So that can be had by hearing can be done by this internet broadcasts and so many things. I'm considering that next year that I may just visit, Krishna willing. I don't know if I'll be in this body up till next year. But to just visit one place in America and spend a few days there, and then those who want to come and hear me can do so on an extended basis, and that way we can have more personal interaction. I do this regularly in India because there also I have disciples spread all over the place, and so it facilitates that. I was just recently in Rishikesh. We had 5 days intensive hearing and chanting, and in the evenings going on Harinam Sankirtan with a group of several hundred devotees, which was well appreciated, which it will be in many places of the world. Here also, I believe it will be largely well appreciated. The link guru-disciple is, of course, when we say guru, the guru is also a member of a parampara, and the parampara stretches back vertically all the way to Krishna, and it also manifests horizontally in terms of the other members of the parampara. As you are obviously aware, I am a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and that is my qualification to initiate qualification and obligation. But I'm also, obviously, not the only disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and you have to take instruction and guidance. As you are doing within the parampara. And vertically also means it goes down. That means I have my disciples and my godbrothers, they have their disciples. Specifically here, the fact that you are all here, brahmacharis, serving here, Radha Giridhari, is all due to the mercy of Radha Giridhari, as brought to us. Radha Giridhari themselves were brought to us by Srila Prabhupada. And one of the major reasons why you're able to be here is because Badrinarayan Maharaj has been here for longer than some of you have been in the present body, and Dravida Prabhu also. And because a few years ago, Mahatattva Prabhu relocated here and thought that, well, it'd be nice to have some brahmacharis here. And what others thought was not possible or not even desirable, he has manifested that, and you are the manifestations of his service to Srila Prabhupada and the parampara. So there's some sometimes I've heard that, or some suggestion that he's maybe a bit too strict. Maybe you've heard that also. But yeah, I'm sure it must be tough for young Americans. It must be really tough, because as I was saying this morning in the class, the whole idea of authority, authorities have been so much misused, and that the whole authority has been so much misused in the world that the whole concept of submission to any authority has become, or rather, it's more like it's more part of the culture to be unsubmissive to authorities and not to accept any strictness than to accept any. Although, of course, it doesn't work in real life. I mean, try joining the army, or even taking a job in a McDonald's or anything. You have to submit to some authority and strictness and rules and regs. And where's the balance? It's hard to strike the balance between, obviously there has to be strictness and there has to be leniency, and what is the balance? There is no fixed place of the balance, and different people are different, and they will manifest more strictness, more leniency, or whatever, but whatever it may be, the result is that we're having an initiation ceremony here today, which wouldn't have happened if Mahatattva Prabhu hadn't been here. So another consideration, in the women's liberation movement, they want protection and freedom, both. But you can't have full freedom and full protection. It's not possible. The two things don't go together. So you can't have a brahmachari ashram without discipline. It just doesn't work. It's an impossibility. There has to be discipline. Someone disagree? There has to be discipline, and it's the great good quality. It's the mercy of Krishna on all of you, and your goodness and your sincerity in seeking and serving the truth, who is Krishna, that you submit to this discipline. So we're all different human beings, and not everyone's chemistry, as they say, perfectly fits with everyone else. But I request all of you who have the great opportunity to partake in this monastic life in the most unlikely of places, to take full advantage of that. And please don't be too disturbed if everything's not utopian as you may perceive that it should be. Also, another little anecdote from my own life. Somehow or other, maybe this is, I still don't understand why, but shortly after I joined the movement, I was appointed the treasurer at Bhaktivedanta Manor, which it wasn't turning over the millions as it is now. In fact, when I joined, as I said, it was snowing outside and everyone was wearing big heavy coats inside because they couldn't afford any heating. So it wasn't millions they were turning over, but somehow or other I was appointed the treasurer. And here I was, completely new. And I had women asking for money for their children, and my job was to say no. And early on I got an appreciation of how difficult it is to be a manager in this movement. It's I mean, I myself have become quite expert at criticizing various managers, but at the same time, I do appreciate that it's not easy to manage in a spiritual movement. It's much easier to manage in a material movement where you just pay people and they can take the job or leave it. And if they don't like it, or just throw them out, get someone else. It does become a little more difficult with unions and this and that. So far, we didn't have brahmachari unions against temple presidents. You never know. It might become... What? It's a good idea. You never know. It's not impossible. But I'm not going to be the one who starts that one. Let everyone have their own deviations, but I'm not going to have that one. So anyway, it's I do a few initiations I here and there, mostly in India, where there is a culture of having gurus, culture of gurus and disciples, and although it's much misunderstood and misinterpreted due to gurus these days being a real motley gang. Still, there is a culture, and devotees tend to. I mean, it's almost frightening how seriously they take you, and come and ask you questions, which is just, and they're willing to take, or they not only willing to take, but they. Expect you to give the decision in affairs that are going to tremendously influence their life and those of persons in relation to them, such as should I marry this person, should I divorce, and this and that. In Russia, one couple came to me, I'd never seen them before, and they said, we want your blessings for divorce. They came in with their 6-year-old daughter, and I said, no way. With a daughter, you got a daughter? Yeah, no way. You can fight privately, not in front of her, as much as you like, but don't divorce. And they accepted it. They had enough faith to accept it. After that, they stopped fighting because they thought, anyway, we have to live together. So then they adjusted. That was interesting. And later they asked me. They came to me and they'd become my disciples by that time. And they came to me and said, well, the wife wants to have another child. The husband doesn't. And I said, well, what I heard from Srila Prabhupada's books is that the husband has to give the wife children. So they had another child. They had that much faith. It's almost frightening, but with the guidance of Srila Prabhupada's instructions, we're obligated to discharge this responsibility. Due to the culture or lack of, I would expect that in general it's difficult for Americans to summon that kind of faith, but that is what is actually required. It's a very, very heavy thing, accepting initiation. One, Srila Prabhupada regularly used this word surrender, which is very interesting that he used it. Surrender, as we use in our terminology, as taken from Srila Prabhupada, is not that which is in general English usage. What do you think, Dravida Prabhu? Yeah, but it means, we think of a military surrender, but the idea is that you submit yourself to someone unconditionally, with the faith that they will not kill you. but you have no other recourse for your own welfare. You have to do so, and that. Of course, in the Vaishnava understanding, the idea is that we do so, we submit ourselves unconditionally with the faith that by doing so, I will be fully benefited. And Srila Prabhupada translates the word sharan, which means mame kam sharanam raja, surrender to me only. So sharan means taking shelter. So in the Vedic culture, that idea is there, that one can submit to a higher authority. Just like Yudhishthira Maharaj, he sent out his brothers to conquer the four directions, and many kings would just submit. It's not that they all fought with the brothers. They thought that, yeah, our interest will be best served if we offer tribute to Yudhishthira. They didn't think it of as something demeaning. They recognized he's superior, and my interest and the interest of my subjects will be best served by submitting to him. So the very word surrender is a very heavy word. Of course, it's nuanced also by the understanding that the guru is not not meant to be a micromanager who controls every aspect of the disciple's life. That a child is, a baby is micromanaged for his own benefit by the mother. But eventually the child has to grow up. So taking disciple and giving knowledge by which they can grow spiritually and go, just like a child is the father of man, the spiritual child now has to become the spiritual parent in future. That's the understanding. Not that when one becomes a child, one rejects one's parents or is always grateful to the parents, but has to go forward and be responsible themselves. So it's a vast topic, guru-disciple relationships. It really does need a lot of work on. I've written hundreds of pages, literally, of notes on the guru-disciple relationship, the meanings of a guru and meaning of a disciple, in one of those several proposed books which I intend to write. But I think by the time this body is ready for carrying off and it won't be ready, because I have so many book projects which I've started. Maybe that's something one of my disciples or someone else could take up in this, while before this body is taken off, or maybe afterward. But it is a vast topic, and it's crucial in our real life. Our real life means our spiritual life. Our real life is our life, which is not in San Diego or Calcutta or England or in this universe at all. Our real life is in the spiritual world. This is our journey here. This small building here is an embassy of the spiritual world. So our real life is here in this temple, and our real life is to go and just like you were singing and dancing with Krishna. Well, that's eternal life. Well, eternal life means to join Krishna in the spiritual world and sing and dance with Krishna eternally. As Srila Prabhupada said once, I only have one desire, to go to the spiritual world and steal Krishna's lunchbox. Which also suggests that question about Srila Prabhupada's rasa and this and that. So, without further ado, let's call those who are to be initiated. Please, you can offer obeisance to Srila Prabhupada, to Shishi Gornitai, to Shishi Radha Giridhari, to Jagannath Subhadra and Baladeva, and then to come before your initiating guru and offer obeisance. Are the beads not put on yet? Yeah, please put the beads, yeah. And then we'll go through this formality. In one sense, this is a formality. This ceremony, it's a formality, but it's not a formality. It doesn't mean it's a meaningless formality, because it formalizes that which is extremely meaningful. It's a formality in as much as you are vowing to do things which you are already committed to do. You're formally making a vow to do what you're already doing, And which you're, if you're not already committed to do this, then you shouldn't be sitting here today. So in that sense, it's a formality. But on the other hand, it is important to officially and formally make that commitment, because that solidifies the commitment. So it's a formality, but it's not unimportant. Just like getting a degree in a graduation ceremony is a formality. You already graduated, but it's not unimportant. It's for many people. Well, now it's become everyone gets a degree, but it used to be a big thing, and it's a milestone in life. You got a degree? No. Did you get a degree? You're looking at me, you're nodding your head like that. Yeah. Is it like that in America? Everyone goes to university and gets a degree. In England, it's like... No. Oh, that's why, I see, yeah. In England, it's like 85% or something of all kids, they go on and get a degree, which makes it meaningless, practically. And in India also, they no one gets a bachelor's degree only, because you have to go and get a master's degree and this and that. And anyway, more worldly topics. So, please give me the beads. Who's got the beads? Hare Krishna. Okay, let's take the one with it. Back to Sam. Sam means Samuel, Samson, Samuel. Is there anyone gets called Samson? No. All right, just asking, because again, some worldly cultural talk. Coming from England, many names in America seem to us to be quite strange. So we all have traditional Christian names. Not even Jewish names so much. So this is Sam, and this is unnamed. That must be Pete. That's easy to work out. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I'm going to give both of the initiates here names that Srila Prabhupada gave. Then to both I'm giving a name of a devotee who was initiated by Srila Prabhupada. In other words, you have a god uncle who's already got that name. Srila Prabhupada once said that the most important part of the name is Das. So what's your new name? Das. Servant. That's the most important part. Of course, it's important. There are names like Krishna Das, Radha Dasi, Vaishnav Das, Vrindavan Das. So it solidifies the point, or emphasizes the point, that we're servant of Krishna and his devotees. We are all servants. That we cannot avoid. What is that? There's one verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita that keho mane keho na mane shabtar das. Some recognize it, some don't recognize it, but everyone is his servant. All right, please sit properly. All right. So please tell me the four regulative principles which you promise to follow throughout life. All right. how many rounds? Minimum? You have to chant every day? All right. Already with your cameras there? All right. Now, both of the names I'm giving is that I'm giving in relation to your own personality, because Krishna has many, many names because he's a multifaceted personality. So the name I'm giving you is a name of Krishna, which means, it literally means one who's very satisfied and grave. The name is Santosha Das. Hare Krishna. So be always satisfied in Krishna's service. And please tell me. Huh? I changed. I had a last minute change. I decided not to go by the initials. There's a reason for going by the initials. Do you know that? Because in Indian culture, children are named, you know this, you're a priest, huh? Children are named according to either the Rashi or the Nakshatra in which they're born. He's in suspense here. according to the first letter of the demigod presiding over that. That's commonly done. And then the initiation name is also given according to that, because still, you know, demigods are there. Even it's not always done. It's just like, just trying to remember, Vishwanath Chakravarti, he was called Ghanasyam Das. That was his initiated name. So it's not always there, but it's not necessary to do in Vaishnava practice, but it's often done. And Prabhupada often did it in the West also, but in the West it really doesn't link up with that at all, because names are not given to the Rashi or the Nakshatra. My initiated name and it wasn't the same with the same initial. So I'm giving it according to the perceived character. Yeah, please tell me. How many? Minimum?
16.
Okay. This is a name which means a happy village boy. Hasya Grami Das. I'll write it out for you later if you didn't catch. I can write it out for both of you also. So be happy in Krishna's village. Hare Krishna. Okay, let me go on with this.
Corner's already taken.